The ship moved through dark water while the hotel staff scrubbed, stacked, and wiped down what the guests would never see. In a narrow service corridor where the cameras skipped a blind patch, Lena pressed her back to the cold wall and listened for footsteps. Marcus stood so close she could feel the heat from his work shirt, the smell of sweat, detergent, and fryer oil between them. Company policy was clear. No relationships, no distractions, no drama. The kind of rule that got read out loud in training, then posted in the staff mess in thick red letters. On this night, the rule felt closer than any supervisor. One wrong movement in that corridor could cost them both their contracts, their next pay, and their chance to send money home. The docking schedule had just hit the notice board. Port in a few days. Inspections. Checks. Extra eyes. If they could not keep it together until then, the ship would not be the only thing breaking apart. Chapter 1. Hidden Currents. The night shift had its own rhythm. The music from the guest decks thinned out. The laughter faded into muffled noise. Below, in the service corridors, the buzz stayed sharp. Carts rolled along metal floors. Doors hissed. Radios crackled and clipped codes about spills, broken glass, and late room service. Lena moved fast along the back corridor with a tray of folded napkins held against her chest. Her feet ached inside cheap black shoes. Her polo shirt clung to her from hours of steam and sweat. She knew every camera above her head, every angle, every dead point where the red light did not blink. Marcus waited at the end of the corridor, standing beside a stacked linen cart as if he were just guarding towels. His face was calm, but his fingers tapped the cart handle in a tight, restless rhythm. He watched the intersection every few seconds, checking for supervisors or security. "You are late," he said, keeping his voice low. "Section captain wanted extra place settings," Lena answered. "Everyone is nervous about inspection." She stepped into the narrow space between the cart and the wall. The metal pressed into her hip. The tray of napkins dug into her ribs. It was just enough room for two people if neither of them breathed too deep. "How long do we have?" Marcus asked. 5 minutes, she said, "maybe less." He shook his head once. "Too risky." "You called me," she said. He looked up at the ceiling camera. The black dome stared back at them. 2 meters down the corridor, the red recording light flashed on and off. Here, above their heads, there was nothing. A gap in the system. A known secret among crew who paid attention. "I wanted to see your face when I said it," he replied. "Say what?" "They put up the docking schedule in the crew mess," he said. "End of the week. Early morning arrival. Full checks. Security wants clean logs. No nonsense. That is the word from management." Lena already knew. She had seen the notice taped crooked on the wall near the coffee machine. The letters had been printed in bold type. Mandatory briefings. Extra patrols on staff decks. Random checks at crew doors. In her memory, the paper flapped every time the door opened, like a warning that never stayed still. "They always say that before we dock," she said. "They want the place to look perfect." Marcus leaned closer. His voice dropped even lower. "This time, they are chasing rumors, too. Someone said staff are breaking relationship policy. They want to make an example." She felt a tight pull under her ribs. Not fear yet. Not all the way. More like the first tug of a strong current against the side of a small boat. She shifted the tray so it rested on the cart and wiped her palms against her shirt. "Who said that?" she asked. "I do not know," he answered. "I heard it from pantry. Pantry heard it from bar. Somewhere in the middle, someone saw something." "Or made it up," she said. "Rumors are enough," he said. "Policy says they do not need proof. They just need to decide you bring trouble." He reached out and straightened the edge of her collar. The gesture looked harmless. It felt dangerous. Every small thing between them suddenly felt loaded. A look that lasted too long. A hand that rested on a shoulder after a joke. A shared break in a quiet corner. "We have been careful," Lena said. "Careful is not the same as invisible," Marcus replied. Steps echoed at the far end of the corridor. A trolley wheel squeaked. Radio static flickered. They both turned their heads at the same time. Reflex. Training. Survival. "Relax," Marcus said when the sound faded. "Probably housekeeping." "Probably is not enough," she answered. He studied her face. There were faint lines at the corners of her eyes that had not been there at the start of the contract. Long shifts did that. So did always watching doors. "We can stop," he said. "Tonight, before they notice, before docking. You walk your route, I walk mine. We nod if someone is looking, nothing more. The words landed heavy between them. Simple, brutal, logical, the kind of solution supervisors liked. Clean and cold. Is that what you want? She asked. What I want does not matter if security drags us to the office, he said. They will not care about what we feel, only about the rule. He was right, and she hated it. The ship's rules were bigger than any person, bigger than stolen minutes in blind spots, bigger than late-night laughter over leftover dessert in the staff mess. She reached for his hand, just for a second, letting her fingers brush his knuckles. The contact was quick, a shock more than a touch. I do not like being told where my life starts and stops, she said. You signed the contract, he reminded her. We both did, she answered. We knew the rule. We did not know each other yet. He flinched at that truth. It was the closest either of them had come to speaking the story out loud. The knights closing down the buffet. The shared frustration when a guest snapped fingers at them. The look they gave each other when supervisors praised tips but not labor. She pulled back, picked up the tray again, and shifted her weight toward the open part of the corridor. We still have work, she said. Guests expect fresh napkins in the morning, even if their staff is under investigation. You think it will get that far? He asked. They said inspection, she replied. Inspections turn into searches when someone wants to impress management. He looked past her to the intersection where the corridor met the main service route. The light there was harsher, cameras clear and visible. No hiding in that angle. Then we have to be clean, he said. No more meetings in the corridor. No more little risks. We keep our heads down until after port. After that, we see. We see what? She asked. If the rumor dies, he said. If we still have jobs, if we still want this. Her throat tightened at the word this. It was not a big word. It carried too much for its size. Long hours, short breaks, eyes that met across crowded spaces. She nodded once. Fine. After port, we talk. A radio crackled nearby. A voice called Marcus's name, asking for help with crates in the cold room. Another voice called for fresh napkins on the midship restaurant line. The ship pulled them back into its flow. Go, Marcus said. Section captain will notice if you stall. You too, she said. He stepped back, leaving that narrow slice of space between cart and wall empty. She slipped out, hugging the tray close, and walked toward the brighter light of the main service route. Her step sounded too loud in her own ears. At the corner, she stopped. The urge to look back dragged at her. She fought it, then gave in and turned her head. He was still there, one hand on the cart, eyes on her. For a second, the corridor felt very small, full of things no camera could record. Last time, he mouthed, she did not answer. She turned the corner and stepped into the safer zone of clear cameras and open traffic. The air felt thinner there, even with the smell of bleach and food waste. At the end of the shift, a supervisor gathered the team in the staff mess. Everyone stood in rows, some leaning on chairs, some still in aprons. The supervisor held a printed sheet in one hand. Listen up, he said. Docking early morning at the end of the week. Full inspection. We need zero issues. That includes discipline. Management has reminded us that relationships between staff are prohibited, no exceptions. The murmur that followed was quick and nervous. Some rolled their eyes, others smirked. A few looked straight ahead and gave nothing away. Lena stared at the notice board instead, pretending to read old postings about fire drills and safety drills. We will have extra security on staff decks, the supervisor went on. Random checks. Anyone bringing trouble will be put off at port. You do not want to be that person. Understood. The group answered in a half-hearted chorus. Understood. Lena felt Marcus beside her, close enough that she could sense his breathing, but not close enough for their sleeves to touch. The distance between their shoulders felt wider than the ocean outside. The meeting broke. Chairs scraped. People drifted toward the food line or the door. Lena stayed back a moment, staring at the new docking schedule pinned in the center of the board. The port name in bold print, the word inspection in all caps. She heard Marcus's voice behind her, low and even. We still have a few nights before port, he said. We can do this. She did not turn around. Her eyes stayed locked on the paper, on the line that reminded crew of zero tolerance for policy breaks. Then it has to be perfect, she said, every move, every word, no slips. She pushed off from the board and walked toward the exit, past him, into another stretch of humming corridor. The ship vibrated under her feet, a constant low warning that nothing on board ever really stood still. At the door to her deck, she paused with her hand on the handle. The metal felt cold, even through her damp fingers. One wrong choice could turn this ship from a place of hard work into a trap. She drew a slow breath, listening for footsteps behind her, not sure if she wanted to hear his or security's. Chapter 2, Pressure at Sea. The morning started with a blast of heat from the galley vents and the sharp clang of trays stacking too fast. Formal night always pushed the staff past their limits. New towels, polished cutlery, folded napkins, spotless glassware. Everything doubled. Everything urgent. The guests saw luxury. The workers saw sweat dripping into dish pits and schedules that never gave enough time to breathe. Lena hurried across the service route with a tub of silverware against her hip. Her hair clung to her forehead. Her shirt stuck to her shoulder blades. She listened for her name on the radio and for any voice that sounded like management. Nothing yet. Only standard calls for backup, spills, and delays. She reached table stock and began sorting knives into straight lines. Her fingers worked fast. Her eyes stayed sharp. She did not look toward the cold room where Marcus was assigned this shift. She had promised distance. She meant to keep it. Formal night meant strict timing. Guests would arrive in waves. Supervisors wanted everything perfect. No hesitation, no mistakes. Lena forced herself to focus on the metal clinking under her hands. She tried to drown out the memory of last night's warning. Rumors, inspections, security tightening their grip. A coworker slid beside her. Tessa, mid-20s, sharp tongue, always watching everything. She leaned close enough that Lena could smell perfume mixed with sweat. "You good?" Tessa asked. "Fine," Lena answered. "You look tense. It is formal night. Everyone is tense." Tessa shrugged, some more than others. Lena felt the words push against her like a pointed finger. She kept her face still and continued sorting silverware. Tessa lowered her voice. "You and Marcus, something happened." Lena froze for half a second. It was small, quick, barely noticeable. But Tessa caught it. Her eyes narrowed. "You two used to joke a lot," Tessa said. "Walk the same corridor. Take breaks around the same time. Now you barely look at each other. That is how people act when they think someone is watching." Lena forced a steady breath. "We are working. That is all." Tessa smirked. "I am not judging. I just hear things." The words hit hard. Too close to the rumor Marcus warned her about. Too close to danger. "What things?" Lena asked. "Staff saying security is on the hunt," Tessa said. "Something about workers breaking rules. They want names. They want proof. They want to show management they are not asleep." Lena stacked another row of knives. "People love gossip." "Sure," Tessa said, "but gossip gets people sent home." A supervisor shouted from across the prep area. Everyone moved faster. Tessa drifted off with a small wave, leaving Lena's stomach in knots. She finished her silverware load and carried it toward the main dining room. The hallway narrowed near the entrance. Workers rushed past her with trays, linens, and crates. Her foot caught the edge of a mat and she stumbled. The tub slammed into her ribs. She gasped. "You okay?" a voice said. "Marcus." He stood at the intersection in his cold room apron, sleeves rolled up, skin shiny with sweat from hauling crates. His eyes held too much concern, too much familiarity. Anyone could see it. "I am fine," Lena said quickly. "You sure?" he asked. "Do not talk to me right now," she whispered. His jaw tightened. He stepped back, letting her pass. She kept her head forward, walking fast into the glow of the dining room lights. Once inside, she set the tub down and grabbed a cloth to polish glasses. Her hands shook slightly. She hid it by pressing her palms hard against the damp cloth. The dining room sparkled. Dozens of chandeliers, white tablecloths, chairs aligned like soldiers on parade. The sound of cutlery being placed echoed through the empty room. The pressure never let up. A supervisor strode past. "Shift change was 10 minutes ago. Why were you late to your station?" Lena blinked. "I was delivering silverware." He checked his clipboard. "Not your assignment. You were supposed to be here polishing by the half hour. This goes on your record." She opened her mouth to explain, then closed it. Talking would only dig deeper. She nodded instead. The supervisor walked off. Across the room, Tessa watched with a raised eyebrow. Another coworker whispered to her. Both glanced toward Marcus, still visible at the corridor entrance. The whispering grew, small, sharp, dangerous. Lena's chest tightened, the missed shift change, the slip in timing, the visible exchange in the hallway with Marcus. Each small mistake could be bent into a rule break if someone wanted to stir trouble. The dining room filled with workers now prepping final details. The chatter grew low and curious. Lena kept her head down, polishing glass after glass until her arms ached. Later, when the room opened and the guests poured in dressed in gowns and suits, the workers scattered to serve. The noise rose high. Music played in the background. Laughter rolled through the room in waves. Lena delivered wine to a table, her movements steady. She kept her breathing slow. When she turned to reach for another bottle, she spotted the staff security officer near the entryway. He stood with his arms crossed, eyes scanning the room, looking for something, looking for someone. He made notes on a small pad. Then he looked at her. Not long, just a glance, but it lingered enough to cut. Her heartbeat thudded in her ears. She carried the wine bottle back to the station, trying not to shake. When she set it down, her hand slipped and the bottle tipped. She caught it before it fell, but the near crash drew attention. "You good?" her station partner asked. "Yes," she whispered. The shift dragged deep into the night. When it finally ended, Lena headed to the back hallway. Her feet pulsed with pain. Her mind burned with fear. She reached the staff elevator and pressed the button, wanting nothing but her bunk. Marcus stepped into line behind her. She didn't turn. "Not here. Someone talked," he said. She stiffened. "Who told you?" "Bar staff heard the rumor grew legs," Marcus said. "Someone saw us last week in the corridor. They said we were too close." Her breath hitched. The elevator doors opened. Workers flooded in. Lena and Marcus stood at opposite corners, eyes fixed on the floor. "They are watching us," Lena whispered. Marcus nodded once. When the elevator opened to the crew deck, security stood near the hallway entrance. Not blocking the way, just standing there, taking notes, watching faces. Workers slowed as they passed. Some nodded, others kept their heads down. When Lena stepped forward, the security officer's gaze moved to her again. Sharp, measuring. "Evening," he said. "Evening," she answered, keeping her voice steady. Marcus walked past a few seconds later. The officer watched him too. Then he wrote something down. Lena felt the floor tilt under her feet as if the ship had hit a swell. Inside the shared bunkroom corridor, she finally let her breath go in one long exhale. She reached her door and leaned her head against the metal. Tessa's voice came from behind. "You should know something," she said. Lena turned slowly. Tessa crossed her arms. "People are thinking you and Marcus are the ones security wants. I did not start it, but someone is talking loud." Lena stared at her. "Why tell me now?" "Because if security wants a name, they will squeeze the crew until someone gives one," Tessa said. "And tonight you two were not subtle." Lena's throat tightened. Her chest felt hollow. Tessa lowered her voice. "Be careful. Security wants a win before we dock." Lena opened her bunk door and stepped inside. The room was dim, quiet, smelling of old uniforms and detergent. She sat on the lower bunk, elbows on knees, hands pressed to her forehead. Crew rule number one echoed in her mind. No relationships, crew reality. Everyone looked for human connection in a place where the walls never stopped humming. She could not sleep. The ship creaked, machinery rumbled, workers whispered in the hallway. Every sound felt like a warning. Sometime near dawn, she heard Marcus's voice outside the bunkroom door in a low conversation with another worker. She could not make out the words. She could only hear tension in the tone. The rumor had reached the wrong ears. Security was watching. Shift mistakes had piled up. Eyes were turning their way. Docking was getting closer, hours now, not days. Lena lay awake in the dark, staring at the thin mattress above her, knowing the next shift would bring more pressure. The corridor would not save them. Blind spots would not protect them. Not anymore. And someone on this ship had already decided their story was worth telling. Chapter 3, When the Ship Docks. The announcement came before sunrise, a flat voice over the crew speakers. Final approach, docking in less than 1 hour. All staff to report to assigned clearance points. Security checks in effect. No one leaves their post without permission. Lena stood in front of the small mirror above the sink in the crew restroom. The light buzzed. Her eyes looked older than she felt. Shadows under them. Jaw tight. She adjusted her name tag until it sat straight against her shirt. Her stomach hurt with a dull, steady twist. She had not eaten much at breakfast. The mess hall felt thick with whispers. Every look felt loaded. Every half sentence sounded like someone choosing a side. She washed her hands again, even though they were already clean. It gave her something to do. When she dried them, the paper tore in her grip. On the wall outside, a new notice had appeared. Crew clearance procedure, random bag checks, spot questions about schedules and duties, any policy breach to be reported on the spot. Docking day had arrived, and the ship felt less like a workplace and more like a checkpoint. She stepped into the hallway and joined the flow of workers heading toward the crew assembly area. The corridor vibrated under their feet. Engines shifted tone as the ship slowed. Somewhere above, passengers pressed against windows to catch the first sight of land. In the crew line, everyone stood in rows behind a tape line on the floor. Security officers waited near the exit door that led to the gangway, clipboards in hand, radios on their shoulders, eyes moving from face to face. Supervisors walked the line, reminding staff to stay calm, to answer questions clearly, to keep bags open and visible if asked. Lena took her place near the middle of the group. Tessa stood two people down, arms folded tight across her chest. Marcus was somewhere behind them. She could feel it rather than see it, a pressure on her back, a presence that had become both comfort and risk. The head of security stepped forward. He was thick in the shoulders, calm in the face, voice smooth, the type who liked control to show in small ways. "Here is how this works," he said. "We are docking shortly. Before anyone leaves the ship or rotates to port duty, we complete crew clearance. Some of you will be checked and released. Some of you we will speak with further. No one is in trouble yet. We are simply making sure everything is clean for management and for our records." The word "yet" scraped across Lena's nerves. He held up a sheet of paper. Names were listed in tight lines. "We have a short list based on schedules, reports, and observances. If your name is called, step out of line and move to the side room. You will answer questions. You will tell the truth. That is the smart choice." A low murmur rippled through the crew. It died fast when he glanced up. Lena forced herself to breathe slowly. In, out. The room smelled of detergent and nervous sweat. The walls seemed closer than usual. "First group," the officer said. He started reading. None of the first names were hers. None were Marcus. Workers stepped out, faces stiff. A junior cook, a barback, a housekeeper. They moved toward a door at the side of the room, watched by another guard. The officer continued down the list. "Second group, Marcus Doyle." The name hit Lena like a sharp slap. The room blurred for a second. She turned her head before she could stop herself. Marcus stood three rows back, his shoulders squared automatically. He stepped out of the line. His face was calm, but his hands curled in tight fists. Tessa's eyes flicked from Marcus to Lena. It was quick, but not quick enough. The movement did not escape the officer. He tilted his head slightly. His gaze followed the line of Tessa's look. It landed on Lena. His eyes held on her for a long beat. "Any problem there?" he asked. Her tongue stuck to the roof of her mouth. "No, sir." He held her stare a moment longer, then turned back to the list. "That is enough for now. The rest of you hold position." Marcus joined the small group near the door. The guard motioned them into the side room. The door closed behind them with a heavy click. The line tightened around the empty space he left behind. Lena's breath shortened. The engine noise grew louder in her head like a steady drum. The ship tilted slightly as it eased toward the dock. Land was out there, solid ground, choice or a forced exit. The minutes crawled. The main door to the gangway remained shut. No one moved. Security officers watched the waiting crew like hunters in a blind. Tessa leaned closer and muttered under her breath, "If they pin this on him, they will not stop there." "Do not start," Lena whispered. "I am not starting," Tessa said. "I am telling you how this goes. They want a pair, not just one. Makes the policy story cleaner." Lena swallowed hard. Her hands shook at her sides. She clenched her fingers until her nails bit her palms. The side door opened. One of the workers from the first group came out. His face was pale. He walked straight to the back of the room without looking at anyone. A security officer stepped into the doorway. "Marcus Doyle stays," he said. "The rest of you return to your stations." It was not said loud. It did not need to be. The words rang through the room. Tessa hissed in a low whisper. They are holding him. Lena felt something inside her crack, a small thin break, quiet but final. The head of security looked back at the assembled crew. We will continue checks in stages. When your name is called, you go. Until then, you hold your place and wait for instruction. He turned away as if the matter were already settled. Lena heard her own voice before her mind caught up. Sir, it was not loud, but the room went silent around it. Heads turned. One word had cut through the air like a sharp tool. The officer paused and looked over his shoulder. Yes, she stepped out of the line. Her legs felt weak, but they moved. She walked to the clear floor space near the front. She could feel every eye in the room on her back. She kept her spine straight. I need to speak about Marcus, she said. The officer's eyebrows lifted. That is not how this process works. Return to your place. I cannot, she said. Her voice shook once, then settled. If he is in that room because of relationship policy, you are missing half of the truth. The officers shifted around her. Radios buzzed quietly. Supervisors looked nervous. This was not on any script. The head of security stepped closer. His tone stayed even. Are you telling me you are involved in the situation we are reviewing? She heard people shift behind her. A small gasp, a curse under someone's breath, the sound of choice being made in real time. Lena forced herself not to look back. Yes, he studied her face. Name. Lena Morris, she said. He checked his list. Her name was not there. He tapped the paper with his finger. You are not on our short list. You are now, she said. Tessa made a choking sound in the line. The head of security noticed it. You know something as well, he asked her. Tessa swallowed. I know people talk more than they should. Do you have proof of a policy violation? He asked. Tessa shook her head. I have eyes, that is all. He turned back to Lena. What exactly are you admitting? Lena could feel the ship touching the dock beneath them now, a soft bump, ropes groaning as crew above secured lines. The world outside the hull waited. This was the last moment inside the bubble. We have broken the relationship rule, she said. Not in front of guests, not in a way that hurt service, but we crossed the line they taught in training. Her cheeks burned. Saying it out loud stripped away every blind corridor, every stolen glance. There was only the bare fact now. And Marcus, the officer asked. He did not drag me into anything, she said. We made the choice together. If you are holding him over this, you hold me too. The room stayed very quiet. Workers hardly moved. For once, no one tried to fade into the background. They all watched. The head of security considered her for a long moment. You understand this could cost you both your contracts. Yes, she said. You understand you may be put off at port with no return. Yes, you still choose to speak. Her hands trembled, but her voice stayed steady. He does not stand there alone while I keep my head down. That is not how this goes. The officer's jaw shifted. It was not quite respect, not quite anger, something in between. He nodded toward the side room. Bring him out, he told one of his guards. The guard disappeared through the door. A moment later, Marcus stepped back into the main room. His eyes went straight to Lena. Confusion first, then understanding, then something like fear and pride mixed together. What did you do? He asked. Caught up, she said. He shook his head. You did not have to. Yes, she said, I did. The head of security stood between them. Here is the situation. Policy is clear. Relationships between staff are prohibited. You both signed that line. Our records show shifts that overlap in ways that do not fully match your assigned routes. Our team has observed looks and interactions that support what she just admitted. He glanced at the crew watching. If we were only here to punish, I could end this in one sentence. You would both be put off the ship. No more contract, no good reference. He looked back at them, but we also deal with reality. Workers are human. People are under pressure on long contracts. We know this. Management pretends not to. Security cannot. Lena felt a small pulse of hope. She crushed it down. Hope was dangerous here. You have two choices, he said. You keep your jobs under strict terms, or you walk off together and accept that this contract is over. Either way, the relationship does not continue on this ship. Marcus frowned. What are the terms if we stay? The officer held up one finger. First, you're reassigned to different ships at the next rotation. No contact on board. No shared deployment. Second finger. You sign written warnings that state any future policy break means instant dismissal. third finger. You do not see each other off duty on this ship. No meetings, no shared breaks, no blind corridors. He dropped his hand. We monitor that. One slip and you are done. Lena felt the weight of each condition settle on her shoulders. It did not feel like mercy. It felt like a cage with the door slightly open. And if we walk off, she asked. You leave together at this port, he said. No reference from this contract. No guarantee of future work with this company. You figure out your own next move on land. The room held its breath. Marcus looked at her, not at security, not at the crew, at her. The room faded for a heartbeat. We came here for money, he said quietly, to send home, to clear debts, to get ahead. I know, she answered. If we walk off, we lose that, he said, at least for now. If we stay, we erase everything that made this bearable, she said. We go back to being ghosts in uniforms. The head of security waited. He was patient. He had done this before. He knew the shape of these conversations. I cannot choose for you, he said. I only enforce what you decide. The ship settled against the dock with a final shudder. Outside, lines tightened. Gangways moved into place. The day pushed forward. Lena thought of the narrow bunk, the mess hall with its tired food, the long nights under harsh lights, the endless drill of service. She thought of her family expecting transfers, of promises made before boarding. She also thought of the blind spot corridor and how even fear had not killed what lived there. It had only twisted it. Marcus watched her face and saw the fight. His own eyes were tired, not from lack of sleep, from having to measure every feeling against a rule. I will stay if you stay, he said. I will walk if you walk. That is not a choice, she said. That is a mirror. He gave a short breath that almost turned into a laugh. It died before it reached his mouth. She closed her eyes for a moment. When she opened them, they were clear. We walk, she said. The room stirred. Someone whispered. Someone else cursed under their breath. A few faces showed something like respect. Marcus nodded once. Then we walk. The head of security studied them both. Final decision. Yes, Lena said. He signaled to a guard. Escort them to collect their bags. They are cleared to disembark after crew luggage check. No blacklist on file. No active misconduct other than this policy breach. They leave as released workers, not as security incidents. He faced the crew. Let this be simple. The rule stands. You want connection. You find it when your contract ends. Not in our corridors. Lena felt the room pull away from her as she and Marcus were led out. The line of workers blurred at the edges. She caught Tessa's face. There was worry there. Also a small spark of something else. Out in the narrower hallway, the noise dropped. Only the hum of the ship remained. You really sure? Marcus asked. No, she said, but I'm done letting this ship decide who I am willing to stand beside. They reached the bunk rooms and grabbed their bags. They owned very little, clothes, small keepsakes, a few things from ports they had barely seen. At the crew exit, another officer checked their IDs, scanned their bags, and logged their departure. The air that drifted in from outside smelled different. Less filtered. More real. You can still change your mind until you step onto the dock, the guard said. After that, the contract is over. Lena looked at the open gangway. The port beyond was busy with trucks, workers, and cranes. Noise carried on the wind. Heat rose from the concrete. She glanced at Marcus. He met her eyes without flinching. No, she said. We are done. They walked down the gangway together. Each step felt heavy and light at the same time. The ship loomed behind them, white paint, polished steel, a floating world they had kept running from the shadows. At the bottom of the ramp, they stepped onto solid ground. The vibration of the engines faded from their bones. The noise of the port rushed in. Lena looked back once. The crew deck windows reflected nothing of what had happened inside. To the outside world, the ship was just another symbol of escape and leisure. To her, it was now a place she had chosen to leave rather than break herself to fit its rules. Marcus shifted his bag on his shoulder. So, he said, what now? She let out a long breath she had been holding for weeks. Now we find out if this was just something that existed in a blind spot or if it can survive in the open. The question hung between them, sharp and unfinished, as the ship's horn sounded and the port swallowed them up.